answer you to. He'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, but now in Christ Jesus, ye that were once afar off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one and break down the middle wall of partition. It is written, he abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances. It is written, and he came and preached peace unto them that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have our access in one spirit unto the Father. For ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but ye are fellow citizens with the saints, and the household of God, being built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord. I love thy kingdom, Lord, thy house, thine own abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye engraven on thy hand. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Beyond my highest joy, I praise her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. Jesus, thou friend divine, our Savior and our King, thy hand from every snare and foe shall great deliverance bring. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield, and brighter bliss of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Ephesians chapter 2. Now, therefore, the Apostle Paul in the second chapter of Ephesians compares the Lord's church to a kingdom, then a household, then a temple. First of all, the kingdom. Now, therefore, the church can be regarded as a kingdom. And as Gentiles, we are no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Paul reminds us in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Colossians 1:13, Paul says, He delivered us, the Lord Jesus delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The basic way to be a citizen of the United States of America is to be born within the boundaries of this country. Several years ago, a man and woman fled from the tyranny of a country in the Middle East. And within hours after their arrival in New York, the woman gave birth to a baby boy. The news made much of the child's future. They reported that this baby, by reason of birth, was automatically a citizen of this country with all the rights and privileges of any other citizen, including becoming President of the United States. The same thing is true in the kingdom of God. We become citizens by virtue of being born into the kingdom. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto you, Ye must be born again. That statement of Jesus is an obvious reference to the statement of Peter on the day of Pentecost when he instructed believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another thing about a kingdom or nation is the fact that a nation has its own language. Spanish speak Spanish, English speak English, German speak German. Christians have their own special language. Nehemiah, in his account of the people of Judah after the Babylonian captivity, tells us how they had begun to speak the foreign language of Ashdod. And he told them to shape up. Part was in their own tongue and part in the language of Ashdod. Ladies and gentlemen, when the church begins to speak the language of Ashdod, they foul up the biblical language, and that church is in trouble. Notice some of the religious language you hear today that is foreign to the Bible. How about the word Lent? You would think from observing religious folk today that the apostles ran around with ashes on their faces on Ash Wednesday. Neither Ash Wednesday nor Lent is found in the Word of God. Would it shock you if I reminded you that Lent is not even mentioned in the Bible? What do you think about the term Reverend as a title for preachers? The title Reverend did not begin until the 15th century. At first, it was rejected as being very pompous. Let us, as citizens of the kingdom of God, clean up our act and speak the pure language of the Word of God. As members of the kingdom of God, we also have certain boundaries. We are not in the kingdom of God on a passport. We belong there as citizens, and we need not go back in the darkness of the kingdom of Satan. We are a separated people. Let us stay within the boundaries of the kingdom of God. When a Christian, for example, views an X-rated movie, he has gone over the border into the kingdom of Satan and needs to repent. Consider also a kingdom or nation sometimes will put up monuments as memorial to their heroes. One former president being interviewed one time said, What we need to do in this country is erect a monument to God. A monument honors our heroes. Over in England, a person who was showing me around and showing me the sights pointed to an arch over a street in downtown London and said it was a monument to nothing. He said that during the reign of Queen Victoria, they brought that monument to Buckingham Palace, and the Queen didn't like it. She said, take it someplace else. So they hauled it downtown and set it up. No inscription is on it. It commemorates no great battle. It commemorates no hero. There it is, a monumental arch over the street signifying nothing. We have a monument in the kingdom of God, and it does signify something. It is called the Lord's Supper, and it is a monument to our hero. Our hero saved me from hellfire and gave me eternal life. And we have been commanded to do this in remembrance of him. And in Acts the 20th chapter, there is a statement that tells us about the frequency of the Lord's Supper as a Sunday-by-Sunday event. And upon the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread. Concerning the boundary of the kingdom of God, we think of the geography of the world and how it changes from time to time. Countries that existed 50 years ago are no longer there. Others have sprung up in their places. But the kingdom of God has not changed. Nothing can blast it out of existence. Paul tells us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God is here to stay. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Our theme song could very well be, glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Now, therefore, now consider the second view of the church. The church is like a household, fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. When we think of the church as a kingdom, we think of the king. But when we think of the church as a household, we think of God as the Father. That gives us a feeling of a closer relationship. A serviceman in the Army, Navy, or wherever may not go directly to the Chief of Staff. There is a chain of command that must be observed. However, the child of the Chief of Staff may very well walk right in to the office without an appointment. This is the type of relationship we have with the Heavenly Father. We can go directly to Abba Father through the elder brother, Jesus Christ, because it is a family affair. We are blood relatives. We are in the household of God, made nigh by the blood of Christ. We may work with people and have friends who are neighbors, but we don't have them into our homes except for a visit. They do not come to live with us all the time. We do not feel comfortable having them around all the time, and they don't either. They are not family. They are not blood relatives. On three occasions, I have had revivals over the Thanksgiving weekend. Each time has been a miserable affair, because Thanksgiving is a time for the family. And no matter how hospitable folk have been, I have always felt like a fifth wheel in that fellowship. They may include me in everything else, yet there are some things that a family can talk about they would not want to share with outsiders. I think it was Mark Twain who made the statement, I am going to talk to you today with the brutal frankness of a blood relative. It is a family affair. If a person who is not a Christian could go to heaven, he would feel miserable because he is not a blood relative. One time it was reported to Jesus, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking to speak to thee. Jesus answered, Who is my brother and my brethren? And turning to his disciples, he said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. Whosoever doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, sister, and mother. Not everyone can call God Father. Jesus said of some, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. The Christians are the ones who are of the household of God. There is something satisfying in that song we sing. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now, therefore, the church is compared to a kingdom, the church is compared to a household, and now it is also compared to a temple, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, unto whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. The church is the temple in the Lord. When we think of the church as a temple, it presents another dimension. And when a family, one member can move across the country, another can move away in another direction, and yet though separated, they are still in the same family. Now you cannot do that with a temple. If you separate the stones one from another, you tear down the temple. The church as a temple presents a picture of the parts merging together. The temple gives the appearance of oneness, the look of unity. The specifications for the temple of God do not call for denominational names that divide. Jesus is the one who builds the temple. He said, Upon this rock, I will build my church. The second chapter of Acts tells us how he builds. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord adds. When does he add? The Bible says when they were obedient and were baptized. The Lord is still building his holy temple today. So according to this, the church membership is not just statistics. Getting a crowd together in the same building because they like the music, the architecture, or the fellowship with friends is not the church. It may be a Christian club, but not the church. In fact, Jesus seems to discourage some people from following him. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, wanting to know how to have eternal life. If the apostles had been like us, they would have encouraged the Lord. Go easy on him, Lord. He's loaded. What a blessing he will be if we can land him. Jesus gave him an answer that sent him away sorrowful. The Lord told one enthusiastic fellow who said, I will follow you wherever you go. The Lord told him to consider first if he was really sure he wanted to do this. He said something about foxes having holes to live in, and he had none to live in. In the building of the temple, Paul says, it is fitly framed together. It is not a temple of brick, where every brick is the same size, but a temple of stone. Peter calls it living stones, built up a spiritual host, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. The temple of God is living stones. Jesus lays the stones. We do not join the temple. We are placed there by Jesus. Look at the stonemason as he lays up the stones. He picks up a stone. It does not fit too well. He takes his hammer and knocks off some rough edges and puts that stone in place. it is fitly framed, then he applies the mortar. Jesus is the builder. He had knocked off some rough edges from me before I could be fitly framed. I was added by the master builder. In the building of the Holy Temple, there may be a comparison to the building of Solomon's temple. In 1 Kings we read, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. But in the building of the temple there was a sound of the hammers at the crucifixion. The stone was quarried before it was brought to the temple. There was no sound of a hammer in the construction of the original temple. The stone in the holy temple of the Lord must also be prepared beforehand. The preparation is not a matter of saying, 'I'm going to join this church because I like the inspiring music. I'm going to join this church because I like the Family Life Center. I'm going to join this church because it's convenient. I'm going to join this church because my friends go there. I'm going to join this church because they have a great ball team.' You may join a church like that and not be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, this temple Paul speaks of is a holy temple. To be added as a living stone, there must be a renouncing of sin. Otherwise, membership in a church like that is like the mixed multitude that went out of Egypt with the Israelites when they went across the Red Sea into the wilderness. Later on, it was the mixed multitude that led in the rebellion, where they lusted after the onions, leeks, melons, and garlic they had in captivity. Remember, it is the holy temple of the Lord, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Both the Lord and Peter gave credence to the Old Testament story about the building of the temple when they rejected the cornerstone. When they built Solomon's temple, the stones were quarried and brought in, ready to be put in place. One stone was peculiar looking and was discarded. Later on, when they searched for the cornerstone, they remembered that peculiar looking stone and dug it up out of the rubbish. The stone that the builders rejected was made the head of the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is both cornerstone and builder. Let him fitly frame you and add you to the temple of God. Now, therefore. One final thought on the rock, the foundation of the temple of God. Jesus said, "Everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a man who dug deep and built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. That every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not is like unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Someone has written these unforgettable lines: "My God, I mark with fear how many hopes decay, and like the foolish builder's house, fall in the trial's day. Perhaps amidst this throng thou dost a soul espy, whose towering hopes are built on sand. I ask, Lord, is it I? 1,000 doubts arise. I bring them all to thee. Am I unconsciously deceived? Lord, search my heart and see. Oh, teach me deep to dig, down to the solid rock, that when tornadoes round me sweep, my soul shall bear the shock. Jesus, thou only art the firm foundation stone. Firm as the eternal hills art thou, I build on thee alone. Cemented fast to thee, no stone is laid in vain. My hopes defy the assaults of hell, the flood, the wind, the rain. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. And don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.